Hi, this is Janetta Gonzalez, and this is How I Create.
Welcome to This is How We Create. My name is Martine Severin. I'm so pleased to have Janetta Gonzalez on the show. Janetta is a Los Angeles-based surface designer, illustrator, and artist coach. With over two decades of experience, she has created captivating and colorful artwork for a wide range of clients, including brands, products, and publications like Target, The New York Times, Michaels, and Facebook. She provides coaching services to artists, helping them enhance their skills and career objectives. Additionally, she leads art retreats and classes and sells her own work on her online shop. Welcome to the podcast, Janetta.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Janetta, we are so pleased to have you. Your work is characterized as joyful and a joyful celebration of color. You use texture in your work, and we all know you for your patterns. To start off, could you share your early memories that involve art or creativity as you were growing up?
My early memories would be spending a lot of time in my bedroom, maybe five, six, seven, drawing and coloring. I had one of those Crayola caddies from the 80s, and it had just a place for everything from crayons to markers and colored pencils and paints. And that was one of my favorite things. I remember very clear memories of sitting at this little table in my bedroom, like a little kid's table, and coloring books and painting and drawing what felt like hours. I taught myself to draw the Smurf characters in my coloring book. I remember being really proud of that. And I would trace them. I figured out I could put paper over them and trace them and trace them and trace them and learn the shapes. And I started drawing Smurfette, Papa Smurf, and I'd bring them to my mom. And I told her I drew it. And I remember her saying, "You didn't draw this, did you?" She would see me coloring all the time. And I explained to her, I go, "No, I drew this. And I remember taking her over to the paper and showing her how I drew it. And she was like, "Wow, that's amazing." And then we peppered the refrigerator with all the drawings for quite a while. They rotate out. I think that was the first memory I have of actually drawing and applying, some kind of skill that I was learning on my own to actually learn shapes and how to use shapes and make forms and make the Smurfs. So I've been doing this for a long time.
I read somewhere that when you were in school, you got to draw on your school cafeteria. Can you tell us about that story?
Yeah, that was really exciting. I can't remember if it was fourth or fifth grade, but I do remember being taken out of class because that was the thing that was shocking to me. And me and another boy, and the art teacher brought us, I guess she was the art teacher, well, she wasn't a teacher. She brought us down to the cafeteria, and our cafeteria was a really, really old building, probably from the turn of the century. And the basement of it was the cafeteria. I think it still might be. So we went to the lower level, and there's this, very long wall. I think it was brick. It was painted over brick too. And she said, "We're going to be doing a mural, and we'd love you to help draw it." And since me and this other boy in our class, we were, I guess, more of the creative kids, we were brought to help her start the mural because it was big. It was a big one. So I just remember being pulled out of class, and I had a pencil in my hand, and she walked us through what each section of the wall was going to be, and we penciled in quite a bit of it. I remember drawing a tree and the birds in the trees and some mountains, and well, I don't know if they were mountains, but they're kind of like hills, and some, it was very tropical though. So it was, which is interesting because that's a lot of my work now has a very tropical feel to it. So it's, when I think about that, I was like, maybe that was a little bit foreshadowing. Yeah, I do remember the bird specifically and the tree. Those are the two very clear ones I have in drawing, spending a lot of time drawing leaves. I had to fill the tree in with leaf after leaf. And other kids were able to come in too and draw, but we were the first two that kind of got our eyeballs on it and, took a section. And then the class was, different children were pulled out of the class at different times to go down and work on it and paint it little by little. So it was a project we did over some time. And it was our class, the fourth and fifth grade class. And again, fuzzy memory, but yes. So that's how that worked out. It was really exciting. And that mural was up for many, many years.
Oh, wow. That mu- must have been such a treat to walk in the cafeteria and to see your work. That's your first big commission. That's amazing.
Yeah. yeah, it was for me and for everyone else too that participated in it. But just to actually work at a large scale like that, which is something I'd never even thought about, and to be asked to be a part of this, you know, school project was really fun.
So from what I understand, you eventually went and got a degree in graphic design and fine art. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. Fine art first and then graphic design after.
What did you think that you would do when you were in school in terms of what you would do for your career?
Excellent question. I had no idea. Zero idea. I just knew in my heart that I had to have a creative career. And I think I said that out loud at some point when I was going to college and I was in art school at UCLA. Some people know exactly what they're there for. I had no idea. I just knew that I was a creative person and that's what I needed to pursue. And whatever that looked like, I was willing to try it, explore it, whatever it was. This is pre-internet, so work was a lot more challenging to find, especially creative work. You know, now you can just go on your computer and find jobs. But then it was a lot of newspapers, local newspapers, networking. It was a bit of a hustle. Back then, because I didn't have access to finding work, I was kind of just very open to whatever, you know, would come my way. And then when I went to design school, that I got a lot clearer as I knew I wanted to go back to school. And then I went back to school for design. And then by then it became a lot easier to find work.
Can you talk to us about your first job that you had out of school?
Let's see, out of art school or out of design school?
Out of design school. I know, those okay. are very different things. Out of design yeah. school.
Out of design school. Yes, I moved from Southern California to Northern California, right, when I graduated. So I was going into a different market, a different place that I knew nothing about, actually. So it was right at first, let's see, I think I just started signing up with all the agencies to try to get anything, temp work, whatever, creative projects. The first company that hired me, I worked there for maybe 3 months, was something they don't do anymore, but it was a direct mailer company and they worked specifically for auto dealers. I still have them and they would make these, I don't even, not even trifold, just like accordion fold mailers that were large, be all about a dealership and where the cars would be on there. And it would talk about, you know, the deal. It would have coupons on there. So I guess if you had bought a car there, you'd get this like coupon mailer. And it would also tell you about new deals of the car and cars that they're selling. So I made these coupon mailers and they were themed out. They were actually very beautiful for a coupon mailer. We spent a lot of time working on themes, so like a fall theme or like a family theme. and that's what this agency, this design agency or a design firm, I should say, was known for, making like more beautiful mailers for auto dealers. So I did that and I learned a lot there. There was one in particular designer that was, she had been there for a while and she's one of their lead designers. And she taught me everything she knew about the software that we used and how she designs, and her design aesthetic was very, very, very good. It was very high level for what we were doing. So she was able to help them create these templates and these themes and these designs that they were doing. So I just remember just absorbing everything I could from her. She got me up to speed really quickly. Fortunately though, they were a small private company, very small, and they weren't able to keep me longer than 3 months, unfortunately. So I moved on. But yeah, that was my first gig.
You are working with cars, which is really interesting because your work is so embedded in nature. But I guess you have
a fall theme mailer. So no, it was
you did.
Like, yeah,
it was very fall.
It was all leaves and golden colors, and that's what I was saying. Everything was kind of very like, kind of high end, looking for, you know, like a coupon mailer. So it was very, very, the aesthetic was, it was really nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I had to look through lots of stock photos and kind of come up with that theme. And we had to put, you know, kind of like the marketing copy on there too. We worked on that. So it was a lot of moving parts just for this mailer that I had to learn how to do. And the technical aspects of like laying it out in the template. which is something I continue to use throughout all the other jobs I had too.
Wow. And in 3 months at that.
Yeah, it was because you churn out a lot. So you're working fast. And I had to clip out all these cars. So that wasn't fun. But I learned so much about graphic design just in general there.
Well, your story comes to a quick change once you start working at Mattel. And at Mattel, you were a surface designer and you still do surface design.
No, can you tell us a packaging designer, actually.
Oh, you were a packaging. You were a packaging designer.
I was a print and packaging designer for 15 years, at least, maybe more.
So, wow.
Yeah, I would say that's what I did. I did print. I specialized in print design because that's where it was going on back in the day. So everything was, you know, on paper or packaging. And then I was at Mattel. I was a senior packaging designer for Barbie.
And at a certain point, you left Mattel and you said you were pushed out of the nest. Can you tell us what happens once you were pushed out of the nest and what you did for work after that?
Sure. That was my last corporate job. I was laid off and I decided then that was it. I was like, you know what? There's nothing left for me to do in print and pack. At that point, I'd been in it for 10 years. So I was just like, you know what? Like 9 or 10 years. And I was like, I really want to go off on my own. And I had been daydreaming about it for quite a while, what that looks like. And design blogs were very new then. And I remember sitting in my cubicle looking at them and just watching these people create these projects for their blog or what, you know, just be creative on their own. And it seemed like they were getting paid to get some fun freelance jobs. And I was like, oh, that's kind of like what, you know, I think lit the spark in me, just seeing and observing these blogs, these design blogs. I was like, oh, there's other opportunities out there. You know, I don't have to just work at the corporate job. And freelancing, you know, I knew people that freelanced a little bit. And I was like, oh, you know what? I think I can, let me try this. I know what it's like to go and find another, you know, in-house position. Let me go off on my own and see what I can make happen. So I did. But it was a slow transition. Because, you know, at this point, you have to wear lots of different hats. You have to shift your mindset to not just being a worker bee, but to now like, okay, I have to hustle. I have to make my own, you know, work. I have to meet clients. I have to make clients. I have to, you know, promote myself, all of the things. And so it's a big shift. So I didn't leap into that directly. I just started working in-house as a freelancer. And that seemed to be a better transition. So other toy companies hired me to work for them. And I specialized in girls' toys and girls' toys packaging. So, and here in Los Angeles, there's, I think, a majority of the toy companies are here. So it was pretty easy to kind of float around to, you know, people in different places and, hey, come over here. So I did that for a little while. And I would take short-term, you know, work there, maybe 6 months or something like that. And then if I wasn't working in-house and a few times I was working from home, it would just, you know, I was just kind of floating around and one job would end and then I would find myself at another company. So I did that for a little while, but it still wasn't, you know, I wasn't like feeling like I was doing anything new. So I had, you know, started taking on like a logo project here and there, or somebody would need a business cards or different types of graphic design work, brochures, things like that. I did a couple of websites. I even shot the pictures for a few of them and, you know, just things like that. So that was fun. But then it was just like, okay, what's next? You know? And I happened to meet, well, let me roll back a little bit. When I was living in Northern California in the early 2000s, I was just, you know, just doing things on the side creatively, taking classes here and there. And I ended up taking classes in surface pattern design going all the way back to 2003. And San Francisco has a plethora of creative like outlets and things to do there. So I was able to find two different classes there that taught me all about surface design and how to construct patterns, basically, specifically how to make them by hand, how to just do everything pre-computer. And I really loved it. And then I started just making patterns and art for myself. And I even stumbled on an agent. It was kind of random, but she took some designs of mine to a trade show in New York, which I ended up doing many years later on my own. Nothing came of that, but it was just kind of like planted a seed, right? So I used those pattern making skills and the graphic design jobs, two of them that I had, the one before Mattel and at Mattel, quite a bit. So I was known, I guess, for, you know, somebody who makes patterns and makes art. And so I got a lot of projects that I'd be able to make a lot of patterns for, which was really great. So now I'm freelancing and working, you know, at toy companies and still try to figure out what it is. And I ended up going to a seminar that a woman who ended up being my mentor, Deborah Valencia, was giving on art licensing. And I known about it. I even took more classes and I moved back down to Southern California. And my teacher there, some of the women in the class actually had started doing their trade shows, and the teacher was telling us all about it. I was like, oh, there's trade shows. You can get into it by doing, yeah, that's right, you know. But at the time, it just seemed like a big leap for me, you know, financially and everything. It's a big commitment, right? So I always knew I wanted to do it, but back then the only way really to get in was to do the trade show. And this is like 2006. So I remember going to New York and walking the trade show at one point, and it's like, this is really interesting. And, you know, I don't know if I could see myself there at the time, but it was still something I've been exploring. So it had been years, like we're talking like 10 years of thinking about this and being involved in it in some way as in the world of pattern and surface design. Now, 2012, here we are. 9 years later since I learned about it and went to the seminar. I met this woman and she was talking about how to get into the industry, and she had been doing it for a while. She approached me and said, well, I'm putting a group together to take to the show in New York, which is called Surtex. It's a marketplace for where you go and exhibit your artwork. So manufacturers and buyers can come and buy your art for their products. And she was like, I want to bring a group. I kind of want to mentor you all and, you know, share the ropes and get you in the show. Well, yes and yes and yes. That was my moment. That was the biggest hell yes, because, you know, I've been thinking about this for so long, and now I can split the costs and I have somebody to show the ropes, and like, absolutely, you know. So we did it, and I did it the first year with her, and then I came back the second year with her and almost the same group. And then I took a year off. And then I decided to go back on my own and do my own booth. And that was 2016. So then I started dabbling in that while I was still freelancing. So at this point, I'm doing a lot more less toys, more just general graphic design projects. I had a couple of more steady freelance clients. I wouldn't say I'm making the big bucks or anything, but it's still like, you know, I was still figuring it out. I did get a studio at one point, which was really fun. And I shared it with a friend of mine. And it was in this really cool studio space in downtown Los Angeles. And there was a lot of other creatives in there who had really amazing things going on. And it was a great place to just kind of, you know, feel the energy, absorb that energy, and just kind of put it into my work and be surrounded by other creatives. Because when you work for yourself, you know, you're on your own a lot. So I needed that at the time. And that was when I was doing the trade shows too. So that was helpful. And I had space, you know, to design my booth and get it ready.
Wow, what a story. And it's always interesting to me to hear a story like that in terms of this is what happened in, you know, 15 years. But it's time, all that time, it's fraught with all of these emotions, right? And you keep doing the work, but it doesn't mean that you're exempt from the angst and the anxiety that comes along with actually getting it done. I just wanted to say that. Bravo to you, right?
Thank you for
just pushing on. I'd love to talk a little bit about attending the expo and to then go through and talk about some of the lessons that you learned in regards to licensing your work, negotiating contracts, and all of that. I am assuming that when you went the first year that you likely didn't get contracts right away, or maybe you did.
The first year I did, they weren't big ones. Yay. They usually kind of start with small, right? So I did get some small ones, and they were great because I was able to kind of just dip my toe in and figure it out. I think it doesn't mean I couldn't have gotten a bigger one, but I do know at the time when I did my first show, you know, when you do first time anything, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, right? And I didn't really feel like I knew what I was doing. I was like, okay, I put a portfolio together, but is this really targeted for the right people? Is this, am I really putting my best foot forward? Is it cohesive? Those things I didn't really know about yet. That's something I didn't really learn until later. And it's always, that's always an ongoing thing too, especially as your art evolves. You know, you do have to kind of reevaluate, okay, my positioning myself, and is this attracting the right people and blah, 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 right? So, but then I really didn't know anything about it. So I just kind of put a portfolio together that I thought would, you know, get me some kind of deals. And I knew that if I did the holidays, you know, Christmas art and seasonal art, and if I put in a lot of themes that were popular and, you know, at the time, then it'd attract people. And that was my angle, my portfolio. And if you look at it now, it is all over the place. And it is like a mishmash of all sorts of themes and ideas. The styles, I use a few different styles. It still looks like me. And the thing that was interesting is I made these, because you have to make postcards to like, for you, you know, come to my booth and da da da. And so what I would do is I would make these collages of different, I take some of the different patterns and I make these collages on the front and the back of the pattern. So I mash them up and I put a color theme up together, and I kind of use the same format each year. Those cards were, people were way more interested in those cards than in my book. That was my first indicator that I was doing something right, but not in the right way. So the cards, people would pick up my cards and be like, oh, this is so interesting. And they, you know, they just really respond to it. And they sit down and they look at my book and they would just get deflated. And that happened over and over again. And I'm like, because the book wasn't the same as the card. I was taking all these ideas and mashing them up into something new, but you didn't know that that wasn't its own thing. So when you open the book, you have all these separate ideas, right? And so I think it wasn't translating. And that was, to me, I was like, okay, all right. So I probably need to be a little bit more like that, like the things I'm doing on the card and less the things I'm doing in the book. Yeah, the first year I got small deals. Second year, ended up getting a deal to make if you remember, wall art that had like chalk wall art was a thing for a long time. Mm-hmm. So you can see, it was black and white chalk art, like these wooden panel, kind of like frames, like wooden panels that you put on the wall. So I had one design that I did in chalk. It's faux chalk. You do it on the computer. You kind of, back then I did all mine by hand though. I did it in pencil, and then you can invert it and Photoshop, and it looks just like chalk. And then you put out a faux chalk background. And so I can kind of do that over and over again. But I knew chalk was like kind of a thing because, you know, I was doing trends like crazy. And I had on my wall behind me, I have, you know, kind of a sampler of things that you can see in my book. And one of them was a chalk design. I only did one because I wasn't sure. A company came right up, zeroed right in on it. And they're like, I want to see more of those, you know? And I was like, I don't have any more. I remember telling her, I said, but what can I, you know, what do you need? I'll be more than happy to send you more, because you always have to say that if you want the work, right? So you don't just let it die there. Like, what can I do for you? And we talked about it, and she's like, I want spring. I'm a blah, blah, blah. So I went back home after the show and I made some designs for her and I shot them over to her and I ended up getting a deal. And that deal lasted for years, years. Wow. It kind of died when chalk died. So I was making like 200 a year of these chalk signs. I'm not kidding you. There were hundreds. And I remember I'd sit at the table with this pencil all up and down my arm, because I used to do it on, now you can just do it on a computer. But then, you know, I would hand draw everything. So I had tracing paper, and just tables full. I had so much tracing paper. I used to keep it in the boxes and all my old drawings and everything. Yeah, because they would need themes. They would need a lot for their clients. And so I was just me and maybe one or two other designers who were doing this for their company. And there wasn't many of us. So we were cranking them out. Yeah, I have a lot of chalk stuff. And that was fun. That was all the lettering I got. Really, it got better and better. I remember my first lettering was not great. But, you know, I got more conceptual. And I remember them even telling me like, oh, these are really good. I really like these. And so they would just give me phrases and I'd write them, and then it would turn out on these beautiful, you know, like wall art pieces. Sometimes there were pillows, sometimes they got experimental with it. Sometimes too, there were trays.
That's a lot of chart.
Oh my gosh. There was like desk accessories, and I still have a handful of things in my garage right now. But yeah, it was a lot of signage, and they would embellish them with glitter and paint colors and stuff. They were fun. It was a really fun gig. And I did that for, like I said, as long as chalk was popular, I was doing it. I was like, let's keep it going.
At this point in your life, you coach artists. And I'm curious as to the advice. So if you had yourself as a client, I'm curious as to the advice that you would give yourself when you were entering into licensing.
Hi, I'm just popping in to let you know that Janetta has a new course up on Skillshare called Rise to Your Artistic Potential, Boost Confidence, and Conquer Negative Beliefs. Check out the link in the show notes or go on Skillshare.com and look up Janetta Gonzalez.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I commonly say to people who want to start out or are new to it. Really, it is a little bit saturated now. When I started, 12 years ago or something now? It wasn't as saturated with artists, I should say. So there were a lot less of us at the trade shows. It was still more of a, like, you know, something not everybody knew about. And then little by little, the word started getting out, right? And now everybody's like, oh my God, I want to do this too. So what I tell people is, because it's more competitive, you do have to stand out and you have to find a way to be seen and also be more strategic about what you're doing. So there's a lot of people who make art on the iPad these days, right? And sometimes that can look a little similar to someone else's if you're, you know, because of the style. So you do have to, what is that you do that makes you unique? What is it that you do that a buyer would be like, I haven't seen that before, and that would be perfect for us. That's really the objective. You want the buyer to say those things. You want the buyer to be, you know, you to stand out among the crowd so they will pick you. And so that entails like researching who you're sending your work to and making sure that you're a good fit for them. And if you are, then how do you stand out from the pack? So, you know, is it the colors that you use? Do you write well? Are you funny? Is it your style that's very different? So what is the thing? So you got to kind of hone in on that and then just kind of throw some stuff out there and see where it goes, right? So maybe try, if you are submitting to card companies, then I think cards are always the easiest way to start in it, because you don't have to make a collection of anything. You can send 10 different cards, right? So, but you should have a consistent style, right? But if there's a couple of things you want to tweak or try, maybe it's in tone or in color, or, you know, maybe something's funny versus not funny. You know, you can experiment a little bit more there and see what people are digging, right? I would always tell people to make cards, and if you're good with layout. Now, layout is a different thing. If you're not good with layout and you just make patterns, then you can just make patterns and put words on it, but you do have to kind of, you know, just don't put, you can just put it on top, but if you do, it has to be legible. So there's a lot of like little design things you should kind of know before you just don't slap something together. It should be very thoughtful. So it does take some research and looking around to see, you know, if you are going to card companies, look at these card companies. Where are they sold? Look at the cards on shelf. See what's popular. See what trends there are going out. See what, you know, you can do differently. How can you put your spin on things? And that's really, really what it is. It's like, it's design. It's surface design. And we're designing. We're not just making pretty art for ourselves. We're designing products for the marketplace. So you do have to research the marketplace and you have to really like get your design skills up. So if you are a really good illustrator, that's great. But you have to also, you know, understand if you're going to put words on it, how the words going to lay out on the page, you know, how is it going to interact with the message or the theme or the motifs and things that are on there. So there are a lot of things to think about. If you like, again, so are you good at that? Or are you good at just making patterns, which is great. I mean, you can do just fine with that too. But you got to know your lane too. And I think some people in the beginning just want to do everything. And some can, absolutely. And some people I've worked with, they're not there yet. They're not ready for the layout part of it yet and putting a composition together. So they just, you know, they're just really learning like the pattern design and getting better at drawing or understanding harmony and color and all these other things and working on their style. And then once that is, I feel like when I work with folks and they kind of, I can kind of see that, like, you're on a track here. You're doing really great with this. Let's develop this part a little bit more. So I can kind of see, you know, like where they need to finesse things. And then, you know, then I can tell like where they're ready to move forward with and what they need a little help with.
And this is why people need you as a coach.
Yeah. I've been designing for a really long time. So I can honestly just look at someone's portfolio and be like, I can see the strengths right away. And I can see where it can just be that much better, you know? So, and that's what I get excited because I know that I can help them.
That's so interesting. I wonder, I think I might then book a session with you because I think as a photographer, it's always really interesting to get a different view from a different art practice of your work. Because I think you know, photography is very informed by graphic design. And I took graphic design classes to become a better photographer. And so at this point in my career, as I'm trying to figure out and evolve my voice, I'm taking a lot of cinema classes and learning filmmaking because that will make me a better photographer. And so I think you and I will chat.
I actually studied photography when I was in fine art school. So I would love to tell you about that because I do look at things that way. So I think I think that early training, looking through a lens of a camera really helped develop my eye and where I see then going into graphic design and now going into more illustration and product design. It has always been there. And it's how I see things in the world too. Everything is in a framed moment. You know, I could always see that moment. I carry my camera, but it's always going when I see things I love, whether it's color or a composition or the sunset or something, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to get this. And I have just way too many pictures for inspiration that I'll ever use, but I don't really keep a sketchbook. And I realize that the camera is my sketchbook. So I would love to talk.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'd love for you to talk about the things that you create when you're off the clock. It sounds like you do photography, but I'm curious as to if there's anything else you do when you're not designing for a client.
It's a great question. Yeah. I mean, I'm not always designing and I'm not always creating, you know, I think it's like kind of wearing all the hats, right? Like I think when you work for yourself, that's definitely something I found that I didn't realize that when you go to work for yourself, you have to wear all the hats and it could be exhausting, daunting, overwhelming, right? And then, you know, it's over time, like you kind of know what you're good at and what you're not good at, and what you can afford to delegate and, you know, or what you just have to learn and get over it, right? So I think my days are spent like kind of not always just creating, which I wish they would be, but it doesn't work out that way. So I do like in my spare time to, like, I just went to a museum show this weekend and I love going to museums. I've went to a couple this month, actually. I love to, and I do paint. So I'm actually getting back into painting more, like painting. Because normally when I design, I paint the things I need for the design and then I finish everything in the computer. But because I started as a painter and a photographer back in art school, you know, I do want to get back to just painting to paint, you know, not to design for anyone or not to, you know, even to sell it or anything, just to paint for me and to develop my skills more. Cause I feel like I've gotten away from that and I'm not as confident, you know, making a full painting as I think I could be. So for fun and also just for me to like, just to kind of, you know, to keep my creativity going and to develop my skill set, painting is something I'm starting to do more of. Yeah. And then, like I said before, like I'm always taking pictures. I have too many pictures. I'll never look at all these pictures, but I do remember a lot in my mind and I do use these at the information for projects or just things I'm working on. But yeah, I like to spend my time being as creative as I can. If I can, I'd love to cook. I like to, you know, work out, do other things like that. But creatively, I would say, yeah, probably painting, cooking, going to visit museums.
I think I'm the same. I started painting. I'm not a painter, but I find that there's something about it and thinking about an idea, creating colors and just sketching and then using a brush to create some kind of a painting. I find that it's really helpful and it just turns my brain off in a way that I need it to be turned off. Mm-hmm. And it does make me a better artist.
I agree. I love that. Do so many different things and explore your creativity differently because you are going to be informed by all these different things that you're doing. It's going to inform your work in different ways and you might not even notice it, but I think that's really great that you do. And I wish more people did that because you don't have to be a good painter to be a painter. You know, I think people are intimidated by learning new things and especially exploring their creativity differently. They put parameters on it or they put, these conditions on or whatever. And it's like, I'm not a painter, or I could never do that or whatever. And it's like, no, there's no rules. It's art, right? And it's up to you. You know, art is subjective. So yeah, explore your creativity and whatever you're feeling in the moment. And that's really important as a creative.
I completely agree. I think the thing about being an artist and about being a successful artist is to know who you are as a person, as an artist, when mm-hmm. all the limitations are removed, right? When you don't have to answer to someone, and then using that to pour it back into even your professional work, because then it becomes interesting. Otherwise, maybe that's where, you know, you lose the soul when things just aren't not quite there.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. I've spoken about this before. Yes. And I think that it's because you, and it's just like anything. It's like, oh, I can never do that. Or that will never happen to me. Or I'm not able to, you know, and it's like painting. I'm not able to paint, or I don't draw. You'd be surprised. And then people pick up the pencil and they start doodling, or they pick up the paint and they love it, right? Then they just start to open up. And then in all those limitations and false beliefs are, you know, that's exactly what they become. That's what they are. And then you realize there are things that you didn't even realize you could do. Just because you didn't go to art school doesn't mean you're not an artist. You know, art school doesn't necessarily, you know, mean much in a lot, like, especially these days. So there's so many self-taught artists. You can learn online. There's lots of things, you know, you could be a late bloomer with that. No problem. You know, don't stop yourself from moving forward if there's something that you were really interested in trying and learning.
That's beautiful. I have a question for you about your legacy, right? Mm-hmm. It seems to me that you are really good with creating community and creating a space where people can discover who they are. And I know that you, and as you chatted earlier, being an artist, it doesn't mean that you're creating 100% of the time. You know, 80% of the work is business, and then there's the creation. Yeah. I'm just curious to see if you've kind of started thinking about your legacy and what you want to accomplish, both from creating community as well as creating design.
That's really a big topic right now. I just turned 50. And, you know, reflecting has been something I've been doing for, like, I'd say the last several months now that my birthday has been coming up. I think especially when you get to my age, you're now starting to think about the last part of your life, how you could squeeze the most juice out of it. You know, what is it that I could really, like, accomplish now in the next 15 years of working or whatever that I have left? I don't know. I think legacy for me, I just want to continue to do good work. I want to continue to evolve what I'm doing now and wherever that leads me. It could be, you know, just helping more artists in some ways. I think I really do feel more of a call to use this last, you know, 30 years of working and work experience and to really spread spread my knowledge more, however that looks. Because I do have a lot of things I haven't taught. I haven't even scratched the surface with that yet. There's so many things in me that I'm like, I could share about this and I could talk more about this and I haven't done it. So there's definitely a calling to teach more. Yeah, I think I just really need to do that, more of that. You know, kind of get everything that's in my head out into the world and everything I've learned out into the world and just continue to help more, you know, artists on their path and their journey, if with whatever tools I have in my toolkit, I help them. And I feel for me, that's important. When I started Surface Pattern Design and I went to that first trade show, I exhibited at that first trade show, I didn't see a lot of people like me at all. There were no people of color there. And it really bothered me. And I was like, and to be honest with you, in my work experience, I was always the only one, not one of a handful of people of color in the creative industries that I was in. Yeah, I think when I was at Mattel, I was the only Black graphic designer out of like hundreds of designers there. So it was, that's kind of the landscape of things when I work places. And so when I did the trade show, I was just like, all right, there was one other woman, Kristen Howell at the time, and I think a couple others. I don't even know if there were, maybe. And that was it. I just kind of made a decision at that point that if I want to do this, I need to be a light for others. And I need to learn what I can. As I'm learning, I need to share and I need to be visible. And I need to know, let people know that we are out here doing this, because we are out here doing this in small numbers, but more of us can be out here doing this. So I did speak where I could speak. I taught where I could be teaching. You know, I taught at a local college. I taught surface design. I did some speaking engagements at like blog conferences and creative conferences, whatever there was at the time I could get involved in it, I would. And I would speak in interviews, or I'd write for blogs. And I was just trying to put myself out there as much as possible, because I wanted people to know that we're here. I'm somebody out here that, you know, you can, that I thought, and I still hope I am, that I am approachable, is someone who wants to help. That has not stopped. I have not, I still do it, not as frequently as I used to be out there as much, but, you know, I am out there, and I'd like to, like I said, kind of teach and do more of that in my legacy going forward. But I think it is important that as a person of color, especially as a Black woman, creative in this industry, that, and I do hear this often, that people are happy to find me and they're like, oh, we are out here, we're doing this. That means a lot to me when I hear that. And I can only hope that I can leave some kind of mark in a way where people, you know, see me for that and see me that, you know, as a hopefully successful artist in the industry, but also somebody who was a light for other people of color, to let them know that they can too do this type of work. And if it's something that's calling on them and on their heart, then to go for it. Because, you know, they've set an example for that.
I think you have. You've definitely set an example for that. Well, Janetta, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. This has been a treat. I absolutely love talking with you.
Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing too. This is a great podcast. I was so happy to have found you. And